This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day. It's Father Tom and Anthony today. Glory come, fall, let your glory fall. Rain, Holy Spirit, light.
Father, saturate us with the glory of God today. Saturate us with the realm and the dimension of heaven. That we will be filled with the glory of God. We will be filled with the fire of God. We will be filled with the healing of God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. You are everything to us, Lord. Manifest your glory today like never before. Let it come. Let it come. Let it come like a cloud. The cloud of glory. The cloud of presence. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. For like rain, Holy Spirit, like rain, Holy Spirit, have your way, let your glory come, fall, let your glory fall. Glory fall now. Matthew 26, verse 69. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came to him and said, "You also are with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it. He denied it. He denied it before all of them, saying, "I do not know what you are talking about." This man was with Jesus. He speaks like him. And Peter said, "I don't know him. I never met him. I have nothing to do with him." And you know, Peter, when Jesus looked at Peter, Peter went and wept bitterly. He realized that he had come against the Lord Jesus. He denied him. I remember at the court, I was at the court, and it was for pro-life, and the judge, while he was sentencing me, was filing his nails, and he says, "And how do you plead?" I said, "I plead guilty." Then I said to myself, "I have a mother that's old," and I was making excuses. I was denying the Lord. I needed to pray and say, "I plead innocent because I've been taking time to protect lives at the abortion clinics." But I remember when I went back to my seat, I asked the Lord for mercy and forgiveness that I had denied him. And you know what he said very quickly? You'll have another chance. You'll have another chance. And you know, maybe you are that person too that will have another chance. I remember my friend Betty. She was a nurse, and it was Good Friday. And she said to the Lord, I do not want to be like Peter and deny you. I want to let people know that you are Lord. And so she went to Boston that day. She was in the train, and someone was cursing the Lord. And then someone who was cursing the Lord said, and what do you believe? And she screamed out, Jesus Christ is Lord. And what happened? The door opened and she ran out. So she got a chance to witness to the Lord. I tell you, our witness is very important. We might be the only gospel that people read. That's real. We cannot think that it's all going to be done by someone else. When God gives us the opportunity, we need to open our mouths and let them know about Jesus. And you know what? I know people that say, I'm into pre-evangelization. Well, I'm not. I'm not into pre-evangelization. Neither was Peter on the day of Pentecost. He said, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has raised up to be Lord and Messiah. I'm not into pre-evangelization. The only reason why this broadcast has lasted over 40 years is because we proclaim Jesus, crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. And the coming of the Holy Spirit, so important, so important. But people are afraid. You know, the young people, we're going to turn them off. I'm going to tell you, they've already been turned off. We need to proclaim the Lord Jesus the way they do at St. John the Baptist in Quincy to the young people. We don't have any fear of proclaiming Jesus because the world is proclaiming their anti-gospel. It has no fear about proclaiming the anti-gospel. We need to be bold. In the fourth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, they pray for boldness in the Lord Jesus. We need to be bold. We need to be loving too. Not only bold, but boldness coming forth from love. You know what? It's either heaven or hell, ultimately. That's why we need to tell people. It's either heaven or hell, ultimately. That's why we need to witness to people.
We are called to speak the truth in love. To speak the truth in love and be bold. Boldness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit and the fire of God, you have boldness coursing through you. We see the apostles after the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit gave them the gift and the grace of boldness. So if you would like to be more bold in your faith, there's only one answer, and that's the sweet Holy Spirit. That sweet Holy Spirit. Because if we don't stand for Jesus, we're going to fall for the world. If we're not filled with God, we're going to be filled with the world. If we love and fear man, we cannot love and fear God. You are called to love and fear God first, not servile fear. Fear, I don't want to offend you, Jesus. I don't want to be separated from you, Lord. And and caring what people think separates us from God. You are called to live in this one-on-one encounter of divine union, that you are walking with Jesus and you are releasing his glory. You are releasing his power. You are releasing his love. The secret about the Holy Spirit and Jesus was attractive. He was undeniable to every person he came across that wasn't a Pharisee or thought they already knew what was going on. Every sinner that Jesus encountered, he saw the destiny on their life. He saw the divine plan that they were created to to live. And he just released heaven, but he released truth into them. Sometimes we don't want to speak truth to people because we don't want to hurt their feelings. Jesus doesn't want you to live your life being about feelings. He wants you to live your life being about truth, about releasing the truth, because the truth is what sets us free. The truth is what breaks chains. The truth is what calls the kingdom of God to earth.
Amen. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. And we need to know there is no other way, no other truth but the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, but you're going to turn people off. What about Buddha and Buddhism? Well, you know what Buddha said on his deathbed? I still seek the truth. That's what he said on his deathbed. Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. Amen. And the church needs to be bold and loving. So many times we've not been bold. I remember going someplace and there was a priest and he was talking about pre-evangelization. That's what he does. And I said to him, on the day of Pentecost, there was no such thing as pre-evangelization. Peter said, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has raised up to be both Lord and Messiah. No pre-evangelization. The pre-evangelization is that we need to love the people that we are talking to, and we need to share our witness. People cannot deny your witness. They might deny the doctrine, but they can't deny that someone's been changed by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And today, Jesus wants to change you. Today, Jesus wants to heal your heart. Today, Jesus has divine appointments for you. Today, your guardian angel is leading people to you, because the angels work together. Everyone has a guardian angel, and that angel's only job is to bring people to someone who will preach the gospel to them, preach the truth to them, so they'll be saved. If you're really saved and you're filled with God and you have an awareness to this, you'll notice that when you walk somewhere, people's attention will shift to you and they'll just begin to look at you. You won't understand why. It's because their angels are signaling them to you so that you can release and you can tell them about Jesus. This life is about one thing. It's not about houses. It's not about it's about knowing Jesus. It's about knowing and loving Jesus. But to love Jesus is to speak about him. To love Jesus is to release his power. To love Jesus is to lay down your life at his feet and live a crucified life, that it is no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives through me. That you say, Jesus, today, I surrender today to you, Lord. I consecrate today to you, Lord. Jesus, fill me with your thoughts. Father, fill me with your power. Holy Spirit, blow me where you want me to go. The Holy Spirit is the wind of God, the breath of God. When the Holy Spirit breathes upon you, your life will never be the same. When is the last time you have received the breath of God? Because when God breathes on you in the morning, he begins to blow you where you need to go, to the people, to the places, to the areas of glory. For God wants to move you from your comfort zone to the glory zone. Comfort zone to the glory zone. God is not a God who, he doesn't want you to be comfortable. He doesn't want you to be comfortable. He wants to take you to a place, a higher place, and let you be there for a moment, and then lift you to a higher place, and then take there for a moment, and then take you to a higher place in the spiritual realm. There are heights and dimensions in heaven that even in heaven, we're going to climb to higher and higher and higher places in God's glory. But how are we lifted to these higher places in the spirit? It's by doing God's will. God's will is fire. It begins to purify us. God's will is perfect. So when God's will calls us to step out of our comfort zone and go speak to someone about Jesus, to go tell them about what God has done for you, a little part of you is going to die so a greater realm of Jesus within you can live.
The word that comes to me right now is taste and see that the Lord is good. Not think and wonder, but taste and see. I call it hot fudge Sunday knowledge. You see, if someone came to me from India and I told them we're going to go out to Friendly's for hot fudge Sunday, and he said to me, the priest said to me, what's the hot fudge Sunday? So I'd say it's ice cream with hot fudge poured over it, with marshmallow and nuts and a cherry. He says that doesn't mean anything to me. So I take him to Friendly's and I let him taste. Ah, this is good, hot fudge Sunday. I call Christianity hot fudge Sunday knowledge. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Not think and wonder, for the Lord is good. And you know, that's what's real. When we witness to people and then pray for them, they're going to taste and see that the Lord is good.
What did Paul tell the Corinthian church when he came? That my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. To taste and see that you have the power of heaven, that people's faith will not rest on the words you speak, but the power of heaven that you release. Not Father Tom's description of the hot fudge Sunday, but when they bite into it and they taste the goodness of God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, I've had people who never experienced the presence of God. There was a young man who came to me. His name was Sean. He was on his way to jail during the week. And I said to Sean, how are you doing? He says, I'm doing well. I knew he wasn't going to jail, not doing well. He's leaving his daughter. I said, can I pray over you? And he said, no. I said, can I bless you? And he said, yes. So I blessed him. And the power of God came upon him. He fell to the floor. And his eyes were moving, boom, boom, boom. And I knew God was showing him something. And I wasn't going to interrupt him. What do you know? Someone was at the door selling chalices. And do you want to buy a chalice? I said, please, I have someone here that's coming to know Jesus. I don't need your chalices. So anyway, finally, after being on the floor for a while, he woke up. I said to him, Sean, did you see Jesus? His eyes were going like this and that. He said, I did. I said, what did he look like? He said, nothing like I've ever heard. His skin was olive complexion, and his hair white as wool. That's from Daniel, the Old Testament. And I said, what did he say to you? He called me by name. He said, Sean, I love you. And I said, what did you say to him? Jesus, I love you. And then what happened? You woke me up. I said, Sean, this is real. This is not something that you devised in your mind. You met Jesus. I've never met him like that. But you met Jesus like that. You had an open vision. Well, poor Sean, didn't follow through. But you know, I don't know what? He can never deny the fact that he met Jesus. So I pray for him right now, wherever he is, that the Lord would do something new for him and that he'd come to know the one he saw in vision. You see, everyone who sees in vision, not necessarily going to fall for Jesus. We see in vision so that we will fall for Jesus. And that's so important. If it wasn't for those wildflowers in 1968 that were filled with the glory of God, and God spoke to me, you see these flowers, how much glory they give me. I didn't know anything about glory. I said, yes, Lord. He said, how much more glory can you give me? I said, much, Lord. And with that, I said, you have my life. And you want to know what? That's what happened. He took it. And when I ever tried to take it back, he lets me know. He lets me know. And I go through drain pipes. You know, I'm a big person fitting in a drain pipe. Why? Because I've not used and blessed Jesus as my first love. Our first love above everything else, above everyone else. My first love. What about you? What's your first love? What's your first love? Everyone has a first love. You say, I love this person, but they don't love me. Well, maybe the person's not for you. I know someone that I loved and called him my brother. You know what he said to me? I never want to be your friend. So I said, that's sad. That's sad. But I still pray for him. I still pray for him because I loved him. He was a priest, and I pray for his ministry, and I pray for him personally. And that's okay. He didn't want to be my friend. That's okay. But he's a friend of Jesus. Amen. And that's really what counts.
Now we're going to pray for you. And you can just sit and relax, and that God releases his power upon you, that our message were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Father's power. So, Father, we release the glory of God upon everyone listening today. Lord Jesus, make yourself so real that Jesus created you for divine friendship, and friends share secrets with one each other. The Lord wants to share the secrets of heaven with you. The Lord wants to fill you with his light and his glory, his power and his love. Holy Spirit, come and fall upon your people. We release the river of God to release that healing flow. We speak that healings are released. Bodies are healed. Hearts are healed. Minds are healed. I break every assignment of the enemy in Jesus' name. Every unholy covenant breaks right now, and the fire of God floods you.
The love of God is being poured into your heart by the Holy Spirit. Oh yes, God is pouring out his love through the Holy Spirit, and you're feeling it. Some people's hands are warm. That warmth is from the Holy Spirit. Surrender today. Just say, I surrender, Lord. Whatever that means in your kingdom, I surrender. And let me know, Lord, when I take that surrender back. Let me know, because I want to live for you. I want to live for you. Oh, I told the Lord that day in 1968, the last Sunday in August, I said, Lord, when I turn away from you, let me know it. Let me experience it. And you know what? He has. He has. I take you to Psalm 40. I waited and waited for the Lord. And he came and he put my feet upon a rock. Many will see and be glad. Oh, he gave me that psalm. I never thought that many would see and be glad. But that's what he said. That's Sunday in August, the last Sunday in August, 1968. Many will see and be glad. I had no idea that I'd be on radio. I was just a young man who was going to be teaching school at a parochial school, grade 6. And I needed Jesus. I went to that retreat because I needed Jesus. I had been away from Jesus. And I said to him, Lord, I need to find you, because when I talk about you, the kids will know I'm a hypocrite because I don't know you. And that day I found that I knew him. But more than that, he knew me.
We love you, Jesus, and we bless you. We pray that you find the lost. Anyone who's listening, who hasn't encountered you by the Spirit, right now. Release the glory of God. Holy Spirit, breathe upon them. Because one breath of God, when God breathes on you one time, it changes everything. Lord, release the light of heaven, the light of the divine will, to fill every receptacle in their soul with your light. The path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter. You are going to grow brighter and brighter to be conformed in the image of Christ. If you knew how important you were to God, you would never have a worry. You would never have a fear. You would never have a doubt. For I created you for majesty, says the Lord. For I created you to be a holder of my glory, to be a new dimension, that when people encounter you, they encounter heaven, that you have the power to release and receive all the fire, the glory, the anointing of God. Father, release the anointing.
Oh, Lord, pour out upon them the anointing of Pentecost. Now, in the name of Jesus, our Lord, God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. In Season and Out of Season.